Today I'm talking to Chris Moran, who is the VP of Cloud Services at Genetec. Genetec is a Montreal-based software company with video management solution, and they've been building an Azure version of their product, and as they go through that, one of the challenges they've been facing is the impact on product development and engineering. The need to balance resource requirements between maintaining and developing their core application and the resources needed to build a brand new product. So Chris, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Harold.
And I'd like to start by just getting an overview of Genetec, how the company started, the types of companies that you sell to, just a quick overview of what Genetec is as a company.
Okay, sure. So Genetec is an ISV. We've been in business since 1997. We specialize in developing software solutions for the physical security industry. So as you pointed out, video management software is one of our key pillars. And we also do access control as well as license plate recognition solutions. We're a privately held company. We're about 600 strong. We have offices all over the world. So we're a global company with global footprint. And we do a lot of business in the government world, transportation, education, retail, and critical infrastructure.
So what would the typical customer be for your on-premise solution, if there is such a thing as a typical customer? And does that change with the SaaS solution?
I would say that our typical customer, for example, could be an airport, could be a large retailer, could be a financial institution, a college campus, a school district, or an entire city for that matter. So this would be some of our typical customers on premise. These are the people that would use our systems. In the cloud, we have a kind of a two-prong approach. So we can also support some of these customers, for example, with added capabilities are delivered through the cloud. And we can also support some smaller types of customers, so more the SMB world.
And for both of these types of transactions, on-premise and the cloud, what would a quote-unquote a typical transaction look like? If an on-premise customer is buying the solution, what are they buying all up as part of it? Software, hardware, implementation, what would a transaction look like? And how would a similar transaction look like when it's a cloud-based solution?
Yeah, so Genetec, we provide the software component. The software on premises is also delivered through appliances. So a customer would typically obviously source the software, then the hardware, and the hardware would be obviously servers, vast quantities of storage, more often than not also networking gear, and then a variety of different devices. These devices would typically be IP cameras or IP door controllers that we manage in our solution. And then all the labor that goes around in installing the physical component of our solution as well as commissioning the software. So this is like on premises. In our transition to cloud, you know, we can't really get away from the physical nature of our business. You know, as I like to point out, you can't download a camera from the internet. So you still have to install these devices on the customer site. But at least the entire kind of software aspect is actually delivered as a service, and you can just go online and activate your service to connect to your devices.
Okay, great. Thank you. Now, what triggered the decision to develop a cloud-based solution? You're in an industry and a technology that isn't necessarily at the forefront of technology adoption. So as a company, why did you decide to make this investment?
Okay, so we've been looking at cloud for quite a number of years. And actually, we had looked at it and been following it for a few years before we made the big jump in actually going into the cloud. So Genetec decided to really make the jump into the cloud when the economics started to make sense for our industry. The type of workload that we put in the cloud is very, I would say, storage and bandwidth intensive. And, you know, at the very early onset, the costs for putting stuff into the cloud and keeping it there just made the solution not viable. So this was kind of the trigger, is when the cost aspect came to a situation or a level which actually it made sense. And as to why we're actually pushing cloud, really cloud is the next big shift that's going to hit our industry in the same way that we went from an analog world to an IP world. So we're really positioning ourselves to kind of do this cycle all over again.
And you really did go through a technology cycle. When we had our prep call on this, I was really impressed with the issues that you identified that you had to work your way through. So let's talk about some of those. The first one was the operational aspect. You talked about the on-premise developers can develop it and walk away, but in the cloud, they actually have to be an ongoing part of the application. Could you expand on that?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, there's been a lot of things that we learned and we had to adapt as we moved to cloud. And, you know, in the typical world in on-premises, you know, developers build the software, they test it, ships on DVDs, USB keys, internet download, whatever it is. And ultimately, they're somewhat shielded from the actual operations of it all. Now, when you're providing a cloud service, you are actually providing a service, right? Which is the key word here. And you know, the whole aspect of ensuring that, you know, the software that you've built is actually running as it should be without interruption is something that, you know, developers are not necessarily accustomed to doing. So we obviously have an operations team now in our cloud group, but you know, the developers also have some skin in the game. And they also participate in the on-call rotation, and they can be called on a weekend if something really bad happens. So they really have to adapt and now kind of think that, you know, this is kind of a 24-hour job, which is an added incentive to ensure that things work at the end of the day.
As part of that, you also talked about the decision that you made, and I think every company sits down and looks at the same thing, is, can we port existing code, or do we need to build code from scratch? What was your experience with that?
Yeah, that's been very interesting. When we set on doing cloud, we actually ported a big quantity of code, and we also built cloud native code. Where we stand today at Genentech, and that's somewhat answering the question, we have a cloud first strategy now. So everything we develop it for the cloud first. Because when you develop things for on-premise, you know, the context of on-premise is much different than that of the context of the cloud. And there's a lot of things that can go wrong in the cloud that would not typically go wrong on-premise, like your connectivity issues being one of the big ones. So ensuring that your system is robust enough to handle these types of situations. So now we really kind of develop cloud first because, you know, porting cloud or porting code is not all what it's cracked up to be. And it's a lot of effort, and sometimes it's like trying to squeeze a square peg into a round hole.
Yeah, one of the phrases that you used was that ported code was stateful as opposed to Azure code. Would you mind expanding on that?
Yeah, so at least in our situation, you know, a lot of our components are stateful, which means that it makes it very difficult when we move to cloud to have like nice elastic scalability and also proper load balancing across multiple roles. Building a stateless system was way more important. So trying to port a stateful system into a stateless world is not very easy. So this is actually one of the challenges that we faced. And again, you know, if you start developing with a cloud first mentality, meaning that, you know, it has to work in the cloud, then, you know, porting that code sometimes on-premise becomes much easier than the other way around.
And along those lines, you also talked about the difference in developing code for physical infrastructure on-premise versus the cloud.
Yes, so one of the things that I talked about was when in our on-premises world, we put a lot of emphasis and energy on scaling up the software. And by that, I mean trying to get as much juice out of that hardware platform as we can. So if we can get like a 32-core machine with oodles of RAM, we're going to try to get as much performance as we can out of that box. And, you know, we go around engineering it accordingly with the main intention of reducing the number of boxes that the customer has to purchase. Well, when we go in cloud, we're looking at more, instead of scaling up in terms of having one virtual machine or virtual role with a lot of resources, we're looking at more scaling out. So having small bite-sized increments that we can just add to when we need to scale the system. One of the big things or the big advantages is that you actually keep your costs more under control. If you have very big increments, the steps in your stair your costings there, or costing graph, are much higher versus if you can just have very small increments as you basically add capacity. So this is actually one of the big differences. And, you know, still on premises today, we put a lot of energy in making and doing more with one piece of hardware versus in the cloud. It's much easier to have very small components that we just add as we need extra capacity.
Yeah, so that really does have a fundamental impact on how you develop your product. You touched on it a little bit earlier when you talked about the developers having to work with the product on an ongoing basis. So let's come back to that in terms of customer support and operations. How has that been impacted by having a cloud solution as opposed to on-premise? Does your support organization look the same, or have you made significant changes to the support organization?
One of our big elements, or one of the big reasons why we're going to cloud, is to actually improve the customer experience and lower the overall support costs. So we put a lot of thought into ensuring that our solutions require very, very little training, very discoverable, to really minimize the number of support calls that we have. What we've noticed altogether is that the number of support calls that we get per customer is actually lower in our cloud solutions than our premises solutions. So it's much easier to support and manage our customers because we control a lot of the variables. The fact that we control all the underlying infrastructure that our software runs on actually makes it much easier to support, as opposed to having the flavor of the day based on what the customer installed his software on. So less customer calls per unit sold. And then obviously when the customer does call, we have immediate access into the system because we're running it. So it actually facilitates troubleshooting.
Now, is there an increased level of automation in the customer support? One of the things that we're finding with SaaS customers, the ones that are drawn to cloud solutions, is that they tend to be more self-service, self-educating during the sales and marketing process, and they carry that over into customer support, that they would just as soon deal with a community portal or a forum or an FAQ as to have instead of having to deal with somebody directly. Do you see that difference in your customer base?
We don't see that difference in our customer base. I would say that, you know, self-support as a whole is something that's important even for on-premises solution. So this is something that, you know, Genetech is investing in and providing tools for both our on-premises and our cloud customers to be able to find the answers to their questions without having to pick up the phone and call us or chat with us. So I wouldn't see this as necessarily a big difference between cloud and on-premises. I think it's a good practice to have altogether when providing technology solutions to customers.
Right, right. And another thing that you mentioned to me was the difference in the development cycle when you have a release cycle that might be 2 to 3 years for major new releases, as opposed to the frequent updates that you have with a SaaS solution. How did that impact your engineering, your product development?
Yeah, this is one of the big changes that, you know, I would say that our cloud business or our cloud division at Genetech really helped incubate reducing the cycle time for our software release. So in the cloud, or for example in Stratocast, which is the first product that we did, you know, we initially set ourselves to do 2 month release cycles as opposed to the 9 to 12 months in our on-premises business. We're now doing much better than that. We're almost on a continuous delivery schedule. We've invested quite significantly in automation, or testing automation, I should say. So whenever we finish a new feature, everything's fully automated. So the regression is very, very quick. And we can really deploy one feature at a time as it becomes available, instead of waiting, I would say, months as we package all these features together and then have to undergo a lot of manual testing and manual regression testing. So investing in testing automation is extremely important. And really, people have come to, I would say, expect that when they get a cloud solution, that there's this continuous flow of new features and enhancements that comes on the platform at very short intervals. So this is something I would say that, you know, this bold new world has come to change what people expect out of technology.
Is there anything that you can do during the product design or product development to preempt potential problems that would be more applicable to a cloud solution than on-premise?
I would say that, you know, when I talked earlier about the cloud first aspect, you know, you actually need to know what the cloud is and what the variables that you're working on. So Before you just hop on and think that, you know, the cloud is just a collection of servers running in a data center, you really have to think it through. And, you know, you have to think of high availability. You have to think of all the load balancing, potentially also geo load balancing, as you may have customers in Europe or in North America. How will you scale your solution? And ultimately all the billing and metering, there's so many different components that you're not necessarily accustomed to doing when you're doing an on-premises solution. So doing some homework with regards to what the cloud is extremely important. And from that point on, when you realize, you know, what may appear abnormal in the on-premises world is totally normal in the cloud world, and you just have to deal with it. And this is this kind of this mind shift change that the people that are working on the cloud need to do.
Well, that's great. And I think this brings us to a natural conclusion on this chat. And so I wonder if you could just wrap up for me by identifying what the top three challenges that you ended up having to deal with, whether they were expected or unexpected.
Okay. I would say that, you know, to kind of follow suit to what I just said, the fact that, you know, the cloud is much different, and, you know, changing that mentality or changing that mindset, and the difficulties around developing in cloud are much different than those of developing on premises. So the fact that we've taken on this cloud first approach, so, you know, you can't just take any piece of code and just port it to the cloud and expect it's going to work flawlessly. Some might, you know, and actually some have, but others, it's been a little bit more difficult. So looking at that aspect, the next one is, you know, I've spoken about automation, you know, automate as much as possible, either both on the development side of the house, so the whole testing automation to facilitate regression testing, and ultimately embark on a continuous delivery or continuous integration path, and also automate your tools as much as possible for a billing and metering the solution. And lastly, I would say that the whole operations concept, you know, get your developers, have them put some skin into the game. Don't shield them from it. It's going to actually help you make a much better product, and you know, get much closer to the customer at the end of the day. So the operational aspect are very, very important. So that I would say would be the three key things that I would talk about.
That's great. I really appreciate that. And Chris, I'm going to have one last question for you. And that is just in a broader sense, not just focused on engineering and product development, but what are the things that you would suggest that an ISV think about just from a business planning perspective as they're looking at the journey from on-premise to the cloud?
Wow. There are so many aspects to the business. It's not just a technical thing. I think that people often think it's just a question about building the solution and the product. What I've seen is that it has many, the ramifications of moving to cloud or moving to a SaaS model are pretty big. All the impacts in the back office, for example, how do you process customer orders? How do you bill them? How do you meter that? How do you ensure customer loyalty down the road? How do you sell a cloud solution versus an on-premise solution? How do you market for that? It impacts the entire organization, and in some cases more than others, and you cannot dismiss that. And you cannot close your eyes on that, because it's gonna come back and bite you if you don't take care of it or don't at least think about it. You know, you might make some decisions to live with some stuff that are not necessarily working well for the time being, but at least you're making a conscious decision about it. So the move to SaaS is very far-reaching and will have impacts across the entire organization, not just product development.
Well, this has been great, Chris. I mean, the objective of these webinars and these interviews is to have real-life examples of companies that have actually been out there doing stuff. Microsoft makes a lot of stuff available, content for me and others, on what companies should think about, kind of the hypothetical, theoretical, this is what you should be doing. But this type of interview, speaking with someone that's been in the trenches, that has gone through this, is really invaluable for the Microsoft partners. And I really appreciate you taking the time to share your experiences with us today.
It's been a pleasure, Harold.
Thanks, Chris.